Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a fantastic weekend full of God, family, and country. It's a beautiful day. Grateful to be alive. As you know, Liberty Roundtable Live is 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. We're truth-telling every single day on your radio. Saturday was no exception. Of course, we had our buddy on from Saturday's broadcast, Chris Carlson. He says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Amen to that. And that's how we started the broadcast. We talked about a book review, or we did a book review, I should say, Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy, books by Jeff Reynolds. The only thing I disagree with is they're trying to promote democracy, not undermine democracy. They're trying to undermine our constitutional republic. And they act like because we're jettisoning democracy, we're in trouble. We've never had a democracy. We are not a democracy. And we need to make sure we never become a democracy, ladies and gentlemen. However, he talks about in this book some incredible topics that I think are worthy of review or revisiting for sure if you don't know about them. If you don't know about them, then it's high time you learn, right? These donors and these foundations that they put together operate under a different set of rules, ladies and gentlemen. When you have what they call a pliable morality is the term he uses. They say the ends justify the means. More than anything else, that's the lesson of this book, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever it takes to push their agenda forward, morality in this case means achieving those policy goals no matter what, Jeff says. And really, it's true. Have you heard of the Billionaires Club? What about the Giving Pledge? The Billionaires Club is a group created to really change the outcome of Americans' thought processes, beliefs, understanding, etc. And the Giving Pledge is what these huge billionaires take. They'll give half of their money to charity as the pledge. The problem is, along with the pledge, in addition to giving half your money to charity, sounds like a good idea at first until you understand what their goals of charity really are. Okay, David Brock is one of the leaders. He's a lifetime Democratic operative. And he is also the founder of a group called Democracy Alliance, an umbrella group for many other, what I would call, subversive organizations. All right? And so they use these 501c3 nonprofits, etc., these nonprofit organizations, because it's really hard to trace money. When you match a for-profit with a nonprofit and you can funnel money around and around and around to all these different entities, it's almost impossible to track the money. Well, one of these organizations under this big old umbrella from David Brock and others is called Media Matters for America. They've been attacking me for quite some time, along with any other conservatives. They've created a who's who list saying that we're a domestic terrorist, a domestic threat, right-wing extremists, racists, every label they can throw on us. In the meantime, you know what? There's Chinese influence in America going on. More than 330,000 Chinese students attend college in the United States. And the Chinese government coordinates activities for these people. Chris Carlson talked about a person he knew and met at Brigham Young University saying, hey, he brought up China to them. And they said, well, I can't talk about that. All right. Understand Whitaker Chambers in the United States highlighted this point. The working class are Democrats. The middle class are Republicans. The upper class are all communists. Yeah, very scary. In contrast to that statement, Ezra Taft Benson, former Secretary of Agriculture, stated, quote, "We have consistently warned our people against the insidious nature of communism, which debases the individual, robs him of his agency, and makes him an enslaved tool of the state, to which he must look for subsistence and religion." Religion is key there, ladies and gentlemen. These people want to jettison religion in America. They want to jettison morality in America, the two great supports that George Washington points to. Anyway, that was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live. The second hour, we talked about Ammon Bundy for Governor, Idaho update. We talked about the Idaho primary aftermath. Then we talked about this incredible article, Living with the Far Right Insurgency in Idaho, Radical GOP Faction in Open Alliance with Extremists is Seizing Power and Targeting Its Opponents with Cruelty. Some wonder now, is it even time to leave? Kim Raff of the Huffington Post wrote this article. And wow, it's a doozy. It attacks us relentlessly, without evidence, without, it just absolutely puts us all into one great hole. You take true racist, true Nazi, true white pride, whatever you want to call them, and merges those with the average Republican in a very deceptive, dishonest, manipulative way. Incredible article. Listen to Saturday's second hour for the absolute breakdown of how dishonest and immoral and unfair, putting everybody into one huge great hole, extreme true white supremacist Nazis merged with the average Joe Republican as if they're all really the same thing and as if they're a threat to the great state of Idaho. Wow. The liberals are just running around in fear because of the extreme, hostile, cruel, all, you know, in one bag, conservatives. It's an article that's amazing. They are learning to wordsmith and take the cake. Every article they write tops the last one of how wordsmithed and manipulated and abusive and dishonest and immoral it really is. Peddled to the media as if it's truth. Shame on them and their disinformation campaign. We agree they have the right to say and think what they want, but so do we. And I'm telling you right now, it borders on libel and slander and criminal activity against many people mentioned. I'll tell you that right now. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. All right, that's a recap of Saturday's show, still available at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Without further ado, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me back, Sam. Good to be here.
Any comment on anything so far?
I happened to read a bunch of Carrie Lake material last night that I hadn't known she was running for governor in Arizona, but I am sure encouraged by what I see from there.
Well, we should pray for it, but with the vote fraud, I'm not so sure, sir.
Yeah, I know, but relating to what you just said, you know, no comment. You just did a great job with the show, Sam, and great idea to recap, bring our listeners up to speed. It's just wonderful. Good job.
Yeah, we do that every day, the recap, because it really helps people kind of understand, you know, what went on before. If you miss a show, you get kind of caught up. If you need a short something to share with a friend, you've got it. It helps with the show notes. If you read the show notes and listen to the recaps, I know people don't have, you know, 2 hours a day to listen to everybody all the time. And, you know, we try to do our best to make it usable in whatever form makes the most sense. Speaking of that, why did Rand Paul delay Washington's $40 billion Ukraine deal? The mainstream press, in my opinion, attacked Rand as if he was somehow just some obstructionist or some belligerent, not really with the party. It couldn't be more wrong, Lowell.
Well, he said this, Sam, "My oath of office is to the national security of the United States of America. We cannot save Ukraine by dooming the U.S. economy." He went on to point out, Sam, that the U.S. has spent nearly as much on Ukraine's military as the entire military budget of Russia, and that the U.S. government has spent more military money to Ukraine than it spent in the entire first year of the U.S. war in Afghanistan. It's quite amazing, just in what has it been, 3 months, I guess, so far. And yet we've spent more money there than the entire first year of war in Afghanistan.
And you really got to ask the question, every time we throw more money in, what have we accomplished, Lowell?
Yeah, you really have to do. And of course, this gets down to the point of where that money went and how it was going to be spent. I mean, the only thing Rand wanted to do after having been accused by Schumer, who is furious at Paul, by the way, accusing him of preventing swift passage of the bill for Ukraine aid because he wants to add at the last minute his own changes directly into the bill. You want to know what Rand Paul wanted to add to the bill? Oversight, period. Plain and simple, just oversight. He wanted the Inspector General to oversee how the funds are spent.
Imagine transparency and accountability, Lowell.
Imagine
what
that.
What an enemy Rand is, wanting transparency and accountability. See, shame on Mitch.
Rand's dad, Ron, he writes this. He says he wanted to add a little bit of oversight on the money that Washington has sent to what Transparency International deems one of the most corrupt countries on earth. Is that really too much to ask? Good question, Sam.
The question also is, who stood with Rand nobly, boldly, independently, and clearly, publicly? I don't think there was many, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson continues in seconds on your radio.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they use the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1, that behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2, Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day end-time capitalists is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
All right, live and on your radio, baby. Lowell Nelson with me. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So this is serious, folks. Why are we backing the Ukraine? Why are we spending so much money? Why is Rand Paul an enemy? When all he wants to do is say, hey, if you're going to spend that money, we need accountability and transparency for spending that money. Okay, why did Rand Paul delay Washington's $40 billion Ukraine giveaway? Mitch McConnell all mad at him, but Rand wisely pointing this out on the House floor, hey, all I want to do is know where the money's going. All I want to do is create accountability of where it's spent, transparency here. And they literally rioted and pretty much tried to run Rand Paul out on a rail, at least in the mainstream press, that's the way it was. It was like Ron is just, you know, man, we just got to end the filibuster because Ron's crazy. I mean, Rand's crazy. Ron defending Rand, wisely to defend his son. But why would the United States do this? Why would the United States give a war guarantee to Finland, for example? We're going to talk about that in a second. But, Lowell, let's finish up some of the wise questions here. What's going on?
Well, in the Afghanistan reconstruction, turns out there was an inspector, a special inspector general, who actually did his job and reported on the billions of dollars that were stolen in Afghanistan. So in his final report on the 20-year war in Afghanistan, the inspector general reviewed approximately $63 billion of the total $134 billion that was appropriated to Afghanistan and found that nearly $19 billion of that $63 billion, you know, that they were able to audit, was used to, was lost, you know, to waste, fraud, and abuse. Nearly a third of the funds they reviewed, Sam, were outright wasted or stolen by corrupt Afghani officials. Does anyone think it would be any different in Ukraine, which is, you know, said to be more corrupt than even Afghanistan? So Congress doesn't want to know whether there was any waste, fraud, and abuse, and worse still, they don't want you to know whether there's any waste, fraud, and abuse on this money that they're giving away to Ukraine. See, it's not their money, Sam. And it's easy to be generous with someone else's money. So the bill, Sam, really should have been named Money for Raytheon, Boeing, Lockheed, and Friends Act. That's what it really should have been named, because that's what it does. Basically, those big fascist corporations have been cut out of the action for the past 4 years, right, during the Trump administration, because Trump refused to start any new wars. And so now it's time to cash in, Sam. Get on the bus, because it's time to cash in.
The Military Industrial Complex Enrichment Act is what it should be called.
Exactly right, because very little of that $40 billion will actually get to anybody in the Ukraine. Most of it, it's going to be absorbed by a variety of D.C. lawyers, lobbyists, NGOs, and other well-connected middlemen and part of the Military Industrial Complex. They're the ones are benefiting from this $40 billion. And, you know, Rand Paul just wanted to know where the money's going, but, you know, he lost the vote. So we're not going to ever know. That waste, corruption, fraud, and abuse is going to continue, Sam, unfortunately.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I believe Rand Paul is a hero, but I also asked the question, how many people stood with Rand? I don't really hear a whole lot. I think Mike Lee and others should have doubled down in defense of what Rand had to say too, but not much on the topic. Speaking of also other international issues, why would the U.S. give a war guarantee to Finland, Pat Buchanan? Isn't Finland just a tiny country? Why are we backing all these unique situations that, in my opinion, escalate concerns and conflict and the U.S. commitment to literally everything warmonger-wise? Lowell?
Great question, and it's a question that Pat asks in his column. He says Finland is a country of 5.5 million people with an 830-mile border with Russia, and basically with this, you know, our inviting Finland into NATO, we're basically obligating, we're going to obligate United States of America to a war with Russia if Russia attacks Finland. And so now comes the important question, right? Some of the important questions. Pat Buchanan asks this: what patriot would commit in his own country in perpetuity to go to war on behalf of another country not his own? Why would America surrender to the Finns our freedom of action in deciding whether or not to fight a nuclear-armed Russia? NATO, he says, is not a country club. It is a military alliance Putin regards as an enemy. Every member of that alliance is obligated to treat an attack on any one of its 30 members as an attack on all, and all are obligated to come to the defense of the nation that is attacked. End of quote. I mean, yeah, that's sobering, Sam, to think about that. You know, Biden's statement is similar to the war guarantee that Neville Chamberlain gave to Poland in the spring of 1939. which led to Britain having to declare war on Germany on September 3rd of 1939, just 2 days after Germany invaded Poland. Well, how did that work out for Britain, right? So Buchanan wisely refers to President George Washington's farewell address, wherein he warned his countrymen about permanent alliances. See, NATO was formed in 1949. It is a military alliance. It began with the U.S., Canada, and 10 European nations. Well, it ended the Cold War with 16 nations, and now it's doubled that. Now it is 30 countries, 30 nations. Now, six of those nations were added since the Cold War. They were members of the USSR's Warsaw Pact, right? That's Poland, Czech Republic, Hungary, Slovakia, Bulgaria, and Romania. Those are the six. And three of the newest NATO members, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, are former republics of the Soviet Union. So the last quarter century of NATO's encroachment into Russia's space and onto Russia's front porch, the way Buchanan puts it, has been a leading cause of the worsening relationship between the world's two great nuclear powers, meaning U.S. and Russia. The repeated refusal of Biden and Ukrainian President Zelensky to rule out NATO membership to Ukraine was a primary cause of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And that's a direct quote from Buchanan's article right there. Now, of course, this doesn't absolve Putin of culpability, but it should tell us something that, you know, pushing NATO further east is increasing the risks of war with Russia. You know, and who's going to support NATO? Do you think some of these 20 small countries in Europe are going to be the ones who bear the cost and also the blood of a war against Russia? Or is it going to be the U.S., which is for decades, right, since 1949, been the mainstay of NATO? So brings us to another question from Buchanan. He says this: why, 30 years after the Cold War ended, are we still expanding NATO? Russia does not threaten the United States. As for any threat that it poses to its European neighbors, let them deal with it. Together, NATO Europe is far more populous and economic powerful than Russia, and militarily capable of providing for their own defense. Now, Sam, I think he's one of the few that have even brought up the notion that Europe could defend itself. Everybody thinks that they need support and defense from the United States, but, you know, I think he's right. I think Europe is more capable, more economically powerful than Russia is right now. So why wouldn't they be able to defend?
I agree with that fact, but I would kind of say this, though. Why do we think we need to come to the aid of everybody? Why do we think we need to come to the aid? Look, we end up funding both sides half the time. We fund somebody for 10, 15, 20 years. Then before you know it, they're on the opposite side, and we have to fund somebody else to stop them. Look, this military-industrial complex, this unjust war idea, this hegemonist reality that America finds itself in is nothing but disaster, setting us on a course for perpetual war to never end, ladies and gentlemen. The only answer is to look at George Washington's farewell address and realize that these foreign alliances and foreign entanglements are disaster. The only answer forward, ladies and gentlemen, for us at least, is to say, let's, you know what, stay away from these compromising situations, ladies and gentlemen. Look, what patriot would commit his own country in perpetuity to go to war on behalf of another country, not his own? Why would America surrender our defense of freedom of action to decide whether or not to fight a nuclear armed Russia or anybody else? Why would we back these teeny countries and decide that it doesn't matter if they're in trouble? We're obligated by, quote, treaty or whatever you want to say to go to war. NATO was formed in 1949, ladies and gentlemen. It's a military alliance. We should avoid it by the plague, like the plague. Why does it keep expanding, huh? Because the warmongers want that to happen, and we the people don't stop them. That's why. Thank heavens for Rand Paul and transparency. Liberty Roundtable in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry. President Biden said during a visit to Japan that American forces would be sent to defend Taiwan if Chinese forces attack the self-governing island.
Yes.
You are.
That's the commitment we made.
Southern Baptist Convention leaders mishandled sexual abuse claims, and survivors were met time and time again with resistance, stonewalling, and even outright hostility for the last 22 years. That's according to a new report in Sunday's New York Times. Senator Chris Van Hollen, a Democrat from Maryland, was discharged from the hospital Saturday, a week after he suffered a minor stroke. Disgraced actor Bill Cosby is facing another trial beginning this week in Los Angeles, California, over accusations that he sexually assaulted a teenage girl in the 1970s. Jury selection in the civil case is likely to start Tuesday. Opening arguments are expected to begin June 1st. USA Radio News.
Wendy Bell here for my friends at Swiss America. Did you know the U.S. Constitution authorizes only two forms of legitimate money, gold and silver? That's right. But our government abandoned gold and silver a half century ago. Meanwhile, gold and silver prices have rocketed in recent years due to growing economic uncertainty. So, to help my listeners, Swiss America has a very special offer today. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars at the amazingly low price of $12.50 each delivered. You heard me right, $12.50. Call now to reserve your silver coins at 800-630-1490. That's 800-630-1490. Silver Walking Liberty half dollars for just $12.50 each delivered while supplies last. Put a silver lining in your financial portfolio now by calling 800-630-1490. 800-630-1490.
Most Americans want President Trump's Title 42 policy to remain in place.
More than half of Americans want to keep Title 42 in place. That's according to a new Politico Harvard poll. Data shows 55% want to keep the Trump-era public health policy that blocks legal immigrants from seeking asylum at the border during the pandemic. The Biden administration had plans to lift the restriction on Monday until a federal judge said they could not. The data was split along party lines. Over 80% of Republicans opposed the decision to reverse Title 42.
That is Tim Berg reporting. 27 people suffered minor injuries Sunday after a bus crashed and rolled on I-95 north of Baltimore. The crash occurred near Kingsville, Maryland. The vehicle was operated by Megabus and was carrying 47 people. 15 of the 27 people injured were taken to local hospitals. No other vehicles were involved. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org on your radio. We're talking about a bunch of great articles. We talked about why did Rand Paul delay Washington's $40 billion Ukraine giveaway? We talked about why would the U.S. give a war guarantee to Finland, Pat Buchanan? Now we got to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. Baby formula shortage.
Hey, Sam, before we jump to a baby shortage in the formula, I want to just ask you a real serious question, and that is one posed by some of my colleagues at work, you know, in reference, I mean, because I took George Washington's position on the war in Ukraine, you know, and people at my work, they were really criticizing Mike Lee for standing with Rand and other nine other senators, or a total of 11, that voted against that $40 billion aid package to Ukraine. And they were saying, we need to replace
Mike
Lee.
And by the way, God
Mike
bless
Lee.
Them for doing so. We just need more.
Absolutely right. And so I said, well, look, you know, this permanent alliance thing with NATO, we're pushing NATO east. It's pushing Putin back into a corner. And he's doing the only understandable thing, which is he's trying to keep some buffer, you know, between him and NATO, and they came back and they said this. They said, well, look, if we stop the funds, Russia would roll through Ukraine, killing tens of thousands more and displacing millions more, stealing land and resources from the Ukrainian people who have been under Russian subjugation before. And this would embolden Putin to go further. Moldova, Hungary, and next, bringing them, Moldova, Hungary, next, bringing them under Russian control and rebuilding the Iron Curtain. Where would he stop? If we believe in democracy and self-determination,
we don't believe in democracy, first of all, would be my first statement to these people. And a belief in democracy is what gets you to believe this lie. The democracy belief is that somehow we in America, mob rules or the majority rules. That's democracy, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what you want for the world. What you want to do is gang up with our greater numbers and our greater military might to say that we're the boss. But I got a question for you. In addition to the fact that we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic. What a constitutional republic means is we are governed by morals. And so what gives us authority on the world stage to determine that we can breach the sovereignty of other nations whenever we want to because we believe the cause is just or we believe that democracy requires it? We believe somehow, okay, where does that authority come from is what I would ask your colleagues. Where does that authority come from to push a democracy, which we're not, and then to decide that you're going to breach the sovereignty of other nations all on the idea that you want less death and less destruction? Okay, where does the authority come from for that? So that's the question that I would ask. Then the next question that I would ask is this. We know from life, whatever you want to do, you need to hang around those who do that. If you want to get rich, you want to hang around rich people. If you want to be religious, you want to hang around religious people. Do you believe that more war is going to beget less war? Okay, it's a contradiction in reality. Do you believe that the military-industrial complex, you got to fund, well, where does begetting war, promoting war, funding war, engaging in war, leading with war, where does that beget less war? Okay, the whole idea on its face is psychotic when you honestly discuss it. So I would bring that point to them. The next point that I would bring is this. Whether they have authority or not to go around the world and breach the sovereignty of other nations, where do they get the authority to steal my money on their foreign war plans? Where does that authority come from? Is that thou shalt not steal? Or is the cause greater? Does the end justify the means? It doesn't matter if we violate the sovereignty of another nation, Sam. It doesn't matter if we steal from your family wallet, Sam. The end justifies the means. And my response is, or is it just fomenting more war? And then the last question that I would ask is this. What would be a just war versus an unjust war in God's eyes? Now, I don't speak for God, but I do have the scriptures as my guide. And I know this, God 9 times out of 10 says, if you are the aggressor, if you're going into other nations, you're probably wrong. If you are in defense for your wives, your children, your way of life in your own lands, then you may be justified. So we need to look at the justified reasons for war and say, why are we there? If we say, well, hey, you know, across the world, 5,000 plus miles away, whatever, you know, this is happening. My response would be, you know what? We're going to get less war, more peace by setting an example of prosperity and by using our nation as a light on a hill to say, look, we follow the Prince of Peace. We teach of peace. And yes, other nations might get overwhelmed and overrun from time to time. We're sad about that. But I think prayer for peace, teaching them to only be engaged in defensive war when people are violating fundamental liberties, and teaching them that, hey, the proper role of government is not to take my money and fund foreign wars with it. The proper role of government is not to breach the sovereignty of other nations. What if other nations decide to breach our sovereignty someday? And what if they believe their cause is just? See, morality is not situational as much as morality is absolute. Now, when it's situational is when we have hard decisions to make. I agree. But we have moral priorities that we must follow. And I submit to you that following the Prince of Peace, leading in the world by example and kindness as a light on a hill is the way to go. And so anyway, hopefully those items might help you articulate the point to these people. Where does the authority come from to steal my money? And where does the authority come from to breach the sovereignty of other nations? And how do you believe doing those things will create less war? Because it doesn't make any sense from a logical point of view whatsoever, Lowell.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They're hung up on this notion that we have to stand against the bullies of the world, right? And, of course, that just brought to me, to my mind, the fact that the U.S. is probably the biggest bully on the planet right now. And but they don't view the U.S. as a bully. They view the U.S. as a savior to these smaller
countries.
They're
a bully whenever they steal money from my wallet and I can't fund my family and can't buy gas to go on a trip because it's all used in the Ukraine. That's bully to me.
Yeah, that's right. They say appeasement never worked against bullies, whether that's on the playground. Or in the arena of international
appeasement,
relations.
Appeasement doesn't, but a united front of kindness and leadership and example and transparency and accountability does, though. So you don't appease the bully. You don't give him your lunch money every day. But what you do is you walk home from school with a group of people so he doesn't attack one of you. What you do is you make sure that the bully is watched and that you keep an eye on that bully and make sure that, hey, you know where that bully is at all times and what they're doing. You bring transparency to it by letting teachers and others know where they can keep an eye out. And okay, we can do these things around the world peacefully. Look, if you look at the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, there's a lot of ways to go about containing nations or dealing with other nations without going to full-scale war, lol.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I appreciate your insights on that, Sam, and I'll be talking to my colleagues some more about it. Thank you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about baby formula. I know it sounds like a complete switch of gears, but let's do it. Lol?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, baby formula, sir.
Oh, yeah, baby formula shortage fraud, basically. Here's another really great article by Gary D. Bennett. I like what he writes because it causes me to think and to wonder how close we truly are to the reality that he wants us to see. Because sometimes I think we're blind, you know, to what's really going on around us. And so his topic is baby formula shortage. This so-called shortage, by the way, puzzled me, Sam, when I first heard about it, like about a month ago or maybe 2 months ago. How could there be a shortage of formula? Why is it such a big deal? Well, apparently, there are a lot of parents who buy baby formula. I don't think baby formula is any good in any situation, but a lot of people do. I think it's more like eating Frosted Flakes for breakfast every day. I don't think that does a baby any good to do that. It doesn't do a human any good to do that, but I think it probably destroys more health.
It depends on what your goals are. Hold on. It depends on what your goals are. If you want to create unhealthy babies so that you can take over a nation, it works perfect, sir.
Yeah, you're right about that. See, the very best baby formula is mother's breast milk. And so you have to ask the question, why are so many mothers not nursing their children anymore? Well, some are not able to, I grant you that, but many are choosing to work, for example, and maybe they're forced to work because our country is stealing their money to...
Yeah,
so
we can go to Ukraine, that's why. Yeah, there you go. See what I mean?
Exactly. But breast milk really is the safest nutritional supplement a baby can consume. Provides infants with the natural antibodies, vitamins, minerals, fats, proteins. It strengthens the baby's immune system. Everything is good about breast milk. Well, the next best thing, if the mom can't give her own milk, it would be another mother's milk. You know, mother, basically from a wet nurse. Now, this was really popular 100 years ago, but not so much today. Wet nursing ought to be popular again, in my book.
But it can't be because all the wet nurses are gone to work, so they can go ahead and help fund Ukraine too, my friend.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Can't go to a wet nurse when you ain't got none there. Plus, everybody's encouraged to have no babies. White replacement's real as well, ladies and gentlemen. Hang tight, Lil Nelson, in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Baby shortage, baby formula shortage fraud, Gary D. Barnett with an incredible article. Lil Nelson saying the best baby formula is breast milk. Why are so many mothers not nursing their children anymore? Now, I get, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't want to be insensitive. I realize that some women are not able to nurse and some women can't produce enough milk for their children. And there's a lot of modern day changes to our environment, and to our food and the chemicals. And, you know, things are tougher than they were. I get the need for baby formula. What I don't get, though, is that that's our go-to. And if anybody promotes nursing or wet nurses or whatever, then people literally melt down as if we're the enemy because we're proposing this natural God-ordained solution. Then they attack us as if somehow we're the enemy. And can't we have a balance? But really, Gary points to a bigger picture than even the baby formula. And I want to focus on this because I think it's really worthy of discussion. Here's what he said. How many planned scams and atrocities have to take place in full view in order for Americans to actually do something to stop it? That's the bigger point that he brings up, Lowell.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because 2 years ago, in June of 2020, it turns out that there were a number of billionaires that got together. Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, and others just happened to invest in a startup artificial breast milk company that will produce formula from cultured human mammary epithelial. They just happened to do this, Sam. Just happened to get together to form this company. How did these billionaires just happen to know that a baby formula shortage would occur this year? You know, that's like, you know, what, 18, 20 months into the future? How did they happen to know that a shortage would occur? Bear in mind, Sam, they invested in the startup 2 years ago. Do you think they had anything at all to do with the causes of the supply chain shortages for baby formula? Yeah, that's a great question that Gary Bennett is asking here. And that's in that question falls into the mosaic of these other questions about this totally fraudulent COVID pandemic, where people were locked down and imprisoned in their own homes, instructed to wear dangerous masks and so forth. The controllers and the political class and other people printed out of thin air trillions upon trillions of fake dollars, plunging this country into the beginning of hyperinflation. Vital oil and energy supplies were purposely curtailed due to the false flag event called the Russian-Ukraine War, sending oil and gas prices to all-time highs. The same happened with agricultural and food stock prices, causing mass shortages and, in many cases, famine. So do you think that these were engineered shortages? Well, you think? It's sort of like, duh. And who's there to benefit? Who's there to profit from them? Who has the most agricultural land in the United States today, right? And who has the baby formula solution to the baby shortage crisis today? This baby formula crisis, Sam, is a scam, was purposely created to advance other agendas. Do you think there's any shortage of formula in other countries? Well, I don't know, but I doubt it.
Well, first off, other countries are not near as dependent on formula because they do exactly what you started out with for the most part. Many of these poor countries use breast milk and wet nurses and all these kind of other things different. So is there formula in these other countries? Yes. Are they having the shortage that we are? No. And why are the illegals getting the formula when the American citizens are not. You bring that up, and then they say you believe in this race replacement theory idea, and they attack you for being a racist just because you're wondering why formula is being distributed in a very strange manner to illegals above citizens. And, you know, we go on and on and on with this discussion. It's politically motivated. It's an absolute scam. And the question really becomes, hey, if these guys, right, meaning Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, and others, all getting together to create a formula company, what's their real agenda with this? Is it to create their own formula company? Is it to change formula to be under their hand with chemicals and toxins and whatever in it? Okay, what is the agenda they want to advance with this is the real question we should be asking, Lowell.
Yeah, and that's the question Gary did not ask in his article, which surprised me a little bit because usually he's spot on asking that question. But, you know, I believe that there's a distinct possibility that Bill Gates and his so-called scientists are probably lacing their formula with gene therapies designed to inoculate the newborn population in a way that weakens or disables their immune system, making them forever dependent on big pharma for medicine. Or, Sam, it could be that they're lacing the formula with sterility drugs to help solve the world depopulation problem, right? Because Bill Gates, that's what he's known for. He's a eugenicist. He wants,
for example,
to
depopulate. What is exactly cultured human memory epithelial? You know, you got to understand what really is that and what is in that. In other words, if they culture it and create it, do they add things to it? You know, they take white bread, for example, and they say, hey, it's got, you know, it's flour enriched this or that. Or, and so they take out bleach and do whatever they do. Then they put back these nutrients they think that you need, maybe in the right, not the right proportions for the body, etc. What does this really mean when we say this, the, you know, cultured human memory epithelial, and what is in addition to that? So we're playing games of science. We're playing God, and the children of our nation are in the crosshairs, is the point, Lowell.
Great point, Sam. We in past shows have talked about the gene-edited mosquitoes in the Florida Keys. They were released in the Florida Keys, like 2 million of them or something. And these gene-edited mosquitoes would mate with other mosquitoes and cause them to be sterile so that they would prevent the reproduction of more mosquitoes. That was their design, their scientific experiment, basically. Well, Sam, if they can do it to mosquitoes, they can do it to humans. What better way to sterilize the population of the world than to create this shortage of breast milk and then provide.
And what they'll do is they'll perpetrate the crime, Lowell, and on the back end they'll go, we didn't know this would happen. They're doing that with the COVID vaccines now. It turns out that the spike protein is literally a bioweapon. And whether it's in the vaccines or in the COVID itself, the bottom line is the spike protein goes into every single part of your body. It goes through your blood-brain barrier. It goes into breast milk. This is disaster. And they're saying on the back end, we didn't really realize this would be the case. We thought it would stay localized. So how many other issues will they then say, well, we're so sorry that our baby formula made a bunch of people sterile. We didn't mean to. We didn't realize. Well, it's too late. The dollar short now, then, right? So this is an absolute scam, ladies and gentlemen. It is disaster on steroids, and we better keep an eye on this ball. This is not just a simple shortage of, oh goodness, people got COVID and couldn't make baby formula. Ladies and gentlemen, understand there is a distinct possibility of serious agenda here manipulating all of us, and we better beware. I'm telling you, nurse your children or find a way to get them nursed because, wow, this is it. Who knows where this will really go? But remember, we're on it early. And do we have facts at this point? We don't, because they only created this company 2 years ago, and they're not very transparent in what their ingredients are. Cultured human memory epithelial. Man, that deserves research, doesn't it? Anyway, I digress. Speaking of women, what about Nashville, Tennessee report? Lowell goes to Nashville, Tennessee, wanted to report on this as kind of the final topic of today. It's a switch gears a little bit, but it helps us end on a pretty good note, Lowell.
Well, pun intended, I'm sure. They're welcome to Music City. My wife and I and some of her siblings went to Music City, USA a few weeks ago. What a memorable experience. You know, it was a fun trip, and it's very much different from our normal things we discuss on this show, but it's worth talking about. The first bit of good news is we weren't required to wear face diapers on the airplane over there or back. That was different. That was good. We saw smiles again. We smiled at other people. Seems the skies are friendly once again. I hope it remains that way. We went to the Country Music Hall of Fame and Museum there, you know, where Willie Nelson, Kenny Rogers, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, Elvis Presley, Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, just several of the dozens and dozens and dozens of artists featured there. You know, Sam, I had forgotten how much I enjoyed country music. Since political activism basically occupies most of my spare time and has done in recent years. And so, you know, now instead of listening to music, I listen to podcasts and talk shows like this one. And it was just fun to get out and listen to more music than normal. And the one great learning thing experience I had was that my perspective on Dolly Parton changed. I have to admit, and I sheepishly admit that prior to going to Nashville, I kind of thought of Dolly Parton as a busty singer with big hair, and not to be listened to, not to be heard from. You know, I basically turned her off in my mind. But I learned more about her life this trip. She was one of 12 children. Family grew up dirt poor, but she was taught the ethics and morals from a very early age by her mom and by her grandpa. She wrote and sang the song "I Will Always Love You," which hit number one on the country music charts in 1974. It's also, Sam, the song that Whitney Houston made more famous in the movie The Bodyguard. And, you know, when she got asked about Whitney's success, you know, did she envy Whitney? Dolly said, nah, she doesn't worry about that at all. So when she thinks of the millions of dollars in royalties that she's put in the bank from it. You know, and she also wrote the song Jolene in 1974, which also hit number one on the country music charts. She says that she met a fan named Jolene, loved the name Jolene, and promised to write a song about the name Jolene. And so she did that and enjoyed phenomenal success with it. Another song she wrote, Sam, was Coat of Many Colors, which is the real life story of her mother making her a coat of many small pieces of colored fabric, which because they were dirt poor, and she was excited and proud to wear this this coat to school. But there she got ridiculed because, you know, people laughed at her because her family was so poor. Well, she later made that song so successful, earned millions. Well, it turns out that Dolly gave all the royalties for that song to her mother. And Dolly, by the way, married in 1966 and is still married to the same man. They celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary 6 years ago in 2016. And Sam, that is so rare in show business to be married to the same person for 5 decades. You just don't see that much anymore. And so I tell you what, my perspective of Dolly has changed. I no longer look at her the same way I did my whole life. I'm happy and proud to be a fan now, Dolly Parton and her music. So
yeah, by the way, I'm going to Branson, Missouri here in a couple of weeks, and when I do, I'm going to the Stampede Show of Dolly Parton in Branson, Missouri. It's going to be epic. It's a dinner show, and we're going to check that out. And you know, again, one of the things that we realize, we need to learn to not judge others, even liberals and extremists, if not very careful. You know, we can think that they're our enemies and think that we have nothing in common. But, man, a woman that's been married to the same man for 50-plus years in America is rare indeed. And in show business, it's even more rare. The other thing Dolly's known for is she has a lot of philanthropy efforts that does a lot of good, speaking of four children. So contrast Bill Gates and Dolly, and you got a winner in Dolly. There's no doubt about it, Lowell. Thank you so much, sir. We're flat out of time. God bless you and Godspeed for all you do, including campaignforliberty.org. Thanks, Lowell.
You're welcome, Sam. Bye now.
Always doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Sam Bushman. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Donate liberally, would you please? And we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America. Dr. Bradley, coming up.